The noise attracted people, including a number of young kids who started asking their parents what the doggies were doing. And it's like the conga, but for dogs, was one of my favourite parent replies.
My favourite image of that is the beagle running around just being like, woo!
Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you, and having a few laughs along the way. Hello, HMD family, nice to see you again, and it's been a busy week again. I feel like I start every podcast with it's been a busy week, but it's been busy for many reasons. One of them, really weird, I don't know if there's like something in the water this year, but my sister rang me and said, and my sister Shirley calls me when it's some kind of like emergency. And so I was like, I missed the call. I was like, right, I'll ring her back. And I said to Madeline, you know, there's going to be an emergency. And basically what happened is she was on a walk with her two standard poodles, Milo and Violet, and was in the park, and Milo and Violet were off lead. And she had Milo and Violet's leads in her hand. I'm laughing, I shouldn't laugh, it's not funny. And a tiny little dog ran up to her. This is not a funny story. I just have a really inappropriate laugh. This tiny little dog ran up to her and grabbed the leads. grabbed the leads and started to pull my sister along. And then before my sister could, because it was kind of a strange scenario, right? And before my sister could, you know, drop the leads and just think, okay, I'm just gonna have to figure out another way to get the poodles home. The little dog then jumped and bit her hand and has caused quite a bit of damage. Now, there are a few elements to this. First one being, the reason why I'm sharing this, not because I want to laugh at my sister, because it's not funny. This little dog was owned by this elderly gentleman who had this little dog off lead, and my sister, bless her. I mean, this is the thing. This is like HMD family, quite literally. My sister did not want to shame the owner of the little black dog, and so hid her hand, and basically explained that, you know, her other dog did kind of, that dog did kind of catch her hand, and so, you know, pointed him in our direction to give him some help, and then kind of hid her hand that obviously was like bleeding, and she needed to go to the hospital, and because she did not want the man to feel any more kind of, I guess, shame, embarrassment, concern than obviously he already did when she said that the little dog had, you know, just caught her hand. And I think the reason why I'm opening with this is because I think we need to acknowledge sometimes when we do what has happened to us to other people. And what I mean by that is, you know, we all understand that
that our dogs are, you know, find themselves in situations where they don't have the skills to deal with that situation. We extend kindness to our dogs when they're barking and lunging at the end of the lead or whatever else. And we sometimes don't extend that kindness to ourselves. And we don't say, actually, I'm trying my best with the information that I've got. This is a journey, not the destination by any means. And you'll never be far away from somebody who's making you feel bad, making you feel, you know, ashamed in some way, making you feel like you're the problem. There was something on social media the other day where, and it'd been shared like a gazillion times, and it was basically like, there is no problem dog, only problem owners. And I'm like, well, maybe instead there are dogs that currently don't have the skills to deal with the situations they find themselves in, but those situations are perfectly normal situations, and their owners, when they know better, they do better. How about that's a more empowering approach than, you know, there are no problem dogs, only problem owners, which gets drilled into us, right, by society and, you know, social media and culture and whatever else. So that was the first takeaway. Be kind to yourself. And then the second takeaway from that is, even when, you know, there's a finger hanging off, there wasn't, she just had a little cut. But always, even in those moments, just remembering to be kind to the other dog owner, right? You know, and I know that that's sometimes tricky to do when things are heated. You know, another dog runs up to your dog and you know, it's far from ideal, or another dog, I don't know, jumps up at you, or, you know, whatever it might be. And it's really easy, because this has kind of been like drilled into us, you know, oh, the owners are the problem, to immediately default to that. And I'm not saying that some owners potentially aren't part of the problem, in the sense of if they repeatedly let their dog run up to other dogs and other people and cause chaos, and they repeatedly do that, then yeah, you know, they need to change their behavior. But also, we've all found ourselves in situations where it's like, oh, he's never done that before, right? And in fact, there's an entire section of this podcast dedicated to those very moments. And it can be tricky when emotions are heightened. You know, I remember when the dog bit Gorse, and I remember, you know, I posted about it on my social media, and there were lots of comments and messages of like, I hope that something, you know, the other owner took responsibility, the other owner, you know, did this and did that. And I had to, you know, go back and say, you know, I feel that other owner is a victim in this situation as well. And that, you know, the other dog is a victim in this situation as well. They found themselves in a situation they really can't deal with. And I think what we forget is that dogs are a social species. So dogs are, everything within a dog, and, you know, they're down to their DNA, is to coexist, not just coexist, but love to coexist with other animals, whether it be other dogs or people or whatever else. And so for a dog to bite, it really goes against what is natural for them, right? It really goes, that is not a happy dog. And in fact, you know, if we sort of explore the behavior of this little black dog, I believe it's a little terrier cross that decided to maul my sister, which I still find really funny. And my sister does as well, don't worry. But, you know, that dog was really, really stimulated by leads for whatever reason. In fact, when my sister spoke to the owner, you know, he said, actually, I've got a bit of a problem that I do need help with, where he's obsessed with leads and he grabs them and he wants to run away with them and you can't get them back. And so we'll definitely help the guy. Okay. So don't worry, this dog's going to get the help that they need. But that dog, you know, found itself in a situation where it wanted to go and grab these leads. It probably felt this conflict of emotion where it was really whatever, stimulated by these leads, whether it be fear or simply just really excited, and found themselves in a conflict situation, conflict of emotion, and then found that they became worried about the hand of my sister to the point where they would then jump up. There's a tiny little terrier. My sister's really tall. She's like as tall as me. Jumped up and grabbed my sister's hand. And that is not a normal situation for to happen. That is not a happy dog, a content dog, a peaceful dog, a calm dog, a dog that, you know, has an amazing quality of life and is going around biting people. That is not how dogs work. And so when we take this approach of actually saying, having empathy and having kindness towards the other owner and towards the other dog, one, it makes us, you know, it feels a bit better than anger, right? And secondly, it's a bit more productive because now that owner's been directed on a path where they can get help. So I realise that I've just like kicked off this podcast with a bit of a rant, but I think kindness is something that we often forget, or what can happen is that kindness gets replaced with reactivity in certain situations. Have you ever had, has anybody ever told you like a piece of information or said something about somebody else? And, you know, you've immediately jumped to a conclusion where actually maybe the first question is this, you know, is this true? Could I approach this with kindness? And then all of a sudden you feel better. And actually then, you know, half the time you discover things actually aren't as quite as they seem when you approach them with a bit of kindness. So I guess what I'm saying is, especially as an owner of a dog with struggles, which if you're listening to this podcast, if you're really passionate about dogs or you have a dog with struggles, approaching it with kindness, you can't go wrong. And that's kindness to your dog. That's kindness to yourself. Give yourself a break. You're being way too tough on yourself. Kindness to other people. Kindness to other people's dogs. And on that, we should probably go to the bit of the podcast that everybody loves the most. And that is the It Could Be Worse, where we hear about really kind of quite embarrassing stories and that have happened to other dog owners, those moments of, oh, it's never happened before. And in fact, this time we've decided to rope Madeline in so that so that actually the pain can be shared. So we've been receiving lots.
We have been
to the cringe inbox.
Yes,
Mrs. Cringe herself has brought them over. Do you want me to read?
Hold on, let me work this out. One. Yes, I will go first.
Oh, I see. So she's timed. I see what's happening. She's timed it with one that I won't want to read out.
Some of the stories this week have shocked me to the very core.
Is that why I've been hearing gasps you've been reading them?
I actually just had to take one out because I just thought if it lands on me to read it, I won't be able to do it.
I'm going to have to read it later. I'm excited.
Okay, so I've got my very first one.
All right, go for it.
So this one says, "Hi, Cringe Stories, a story for you." Hamley, in his prime adolescent stealing stage.
Have you changed the name?
Yes, I have changed the name.
Right, sorry, carry on. I feel like we've just outed somebody. Sorry, Hamley.
<that's> Hamley, in his prime adolescent stealing stage, ran up to a man, stole his bag of dog poo he was carrying, proceeded to run around with it, throwing it up in the air, and then decided to swallow it whole. I had to take him into work and ask a vet for some apomorphine so he could vomit a bag of poo up.
No! Oh my gosh. That is
disgusting.
Actually shocking.
I know, it brings poo eating to kind of new levels.
Yeah,
Yeah.
No.
I know. It feels like something something that has probably happened.
Thankfully, in my entire vet career, I have not had to make a dog vomit a bag of poo. Right, okay.
Go on, what's next?
Apparently another public pleasing one. Walking off lead with three beagles in the woods. Have you changed the names?
Yes.
Or not?
I've changed the name, yes.
Cool. Okay, let me start again. Another public pleasing one. Walking off lead with three beagles in the woods. Rhubarb Dog would always get humped by other dogs mid-play. And so on this day, it happened with some stranger's lab. Then my other dog, oh no, then my other dog starts humping the lab that's humping Rhubarb. Third beagle runs round them in circles, howling at the top of her lungs. The noise attracted people, including a number of young kids who started asking their parents what the doggies were doing. And it's like the conga, but for dogs, was one of my favourite parent replies.
My favourite image of that is the beagle running around just being like, woo, in excitement.
Oh, that okay. is horrendous. I know, poor,
embarrassing.
Poor
I would have to fall down a hole and pretend those dogs weren't
no.
like.
Okay. No, any dog conga is not for me. Oh. On the subject of the poo bag, I had a similar incident this morning where Enzo, my mum and dad's puppy, decided to pick up a poo bag and run around with it, but thankfully did not eat it.
That would have been an awkward story to tell your mum and dad, because they're
hand him back, being like, you may or may not find a poo bag.
The vets have said just to keep an eye for any very strange things that might appear. Okay, the next one is one of my favourite ones that's come in of all time. So it says, hi, cringe stories. This story, which is gross, is the following, and of course involves Slinky. A few years ago, when I got a half denture, the dentist suggested to take it out for the night until I get used to it. And if any discomfort, then they'll adjust it. And I would just like to say that having done Invisalign for the last 6 months, I can absolutely understand this.
The
this
number
feeling.
Of retainers.
I used to cry because they were so painful. That makes me sound like a massive wuss. But they hurt.
But
anyway.
Also, dogs definitely have an obsession.
Oh my God,
with,
they have an
with them. Like they are—they're like magnetized to stealing retainers.
I know the amount of them that I've just found chewed up around the house. Anyway, in the morning when Slinky came up on the bed, I heard a crunch and I thought, "That's it." It turned out she had chipped off only the edge of it. But to be fair, the next time I tried it on, it didn't need refitting. It was just perfect.
No! No!
Never, I really hope she washed it before
no!
she went
Oh my God, that really freaks me out.
Never had to go back to the dentist for adjustment. It sits perfectly aligned with my palate.
Dr. Slinky, the dentist, that's amazing.
She says, hope you weren't eating or drinking reading this.
Oh my gosh.
Much, much love to both of you. To you and Mrs. Cringe, I think she means.
Oh my word, I love that.
Now, this right. one, this one also has a picture with it. So after
a picture?
You, yes.
What? No.
So once you've read it, we right. will also have to share the picture.
Okay. No, I've not read it. I've just seen it. Okay. I have a naughty and rude dog story for
Always
you.
Always a good start.
It only happened last Thursday too. This is a lot to own up to. Right. Have we definitely changed names?
Let me just check that one. Oh, no, I haven't changed that one. Koala.
Koala. Mm-hmm. So, Koala has a big caterpillar toy, which is his special friend. He humps it most evenings. So he was humping away last Thursday, and then when he was done, I noticed him stood there lifting his back legs. I initially thought that he was cocking his leg inside the house, which he has never done. I noticed Colin the caterpillar was under his leg that he was lifting, thinking he was weeing on it. I tried to pull it away. I am in.
It's very rude. It
I am in
rude.
Shock.
Poor
I cannot.
Colin.
I can't. I am in shock. Thinking he was weeing on it, I tried to pull it away. Only to find it was stuck to Koala. I took a peek, and yep, he was stuck inside Colin.
Oh.
Colin the caterpillar. Who,
What does it say? I didn't see that bit.
It's the way I'm reading.
Oh, right.
Colin the caterpillar, who I didn't realise, had a hole. I was panicking and ringing around friends who have bred dogs before to find out if I'm supposed to intervene. Wait it out or call a vet. I waited it out, and 30 minutes later, Colin became unstuck. Safe to say, his special friend has been confiscated now. I mean, that was like next level
poor
special
koala.
Friend. I think poor Colin.
Yeah, I mean, poor Colin. Although poor owner, because who would have thought, why does Colin have a hole in him?
I don't know.
It's really
I think because he chewed a hole.
Well, oh, okay. I thought it was like a Colin the Caterpillar
right.
puppet.
Back to your, back to your
right, off I go.
Cringe
back to
palace.
My cringe life.
Okay, right, we always include that part, mainly because normally it embarrasses me, but also because we all have these moments with our dogs where we're just like, I'm so embarrassed and I can never share this, but you get to share it anonymously. You get to realize that you're not alone, and that's the beauty of the HMD family. And also, you know, you listen and you think, well, it could be worse. My dog could have Colin stuck to him. So what did we want to share with you this week? Well, obviously, that be kind message, obviously loads of cringe stories, but we like to give you value in other ways as well. And that's also in the form of geeking out about dog behavior and thinking about the science of dog behavior, but how you can use it practically to get real life results, right? Because I was only talking about this to someone this morning. There's this big void in dog training and behavior where at one extreme you've got like the lofty science and research, and then at the other extreme you've got here's how to teach your dog to sit. And really what Help My Dog is all about is saying, right, here's the science, you know, decade plus of practically applying this and transforming the lives of dogs and owners. So let's share it with you and let's get you some real life results as well. Now, one concept that you know, we've introduced you to before, I can't remember what episode of the podcast it was, but is this concept of your dog's stress bucket and exciting things paying into the bucket, scary things paying into the bucket. And at some point, that bucket reaches a threshold where it overflows. Now, what I thought would be fun to dive into is a little bit on what that threshold is, okay? Because if you imagine like a physical bucket, then of course the threshold is the brim of that bucket, the top of that bucket. And so you pour more water into it and it spills over. Now, the way that you can think about this in terms of your dog's behavior is the threshold at which they are no longer able to think, okay? So that would be the excitement builds, or the fear builds, and at some point they become unresponsive. At some point they stop being able to process what you're saying or what, you know, what they're being asked to do. They stop listening, and they start to do all of these like overflow behaviors, like barking, lunging, I don't know, pulling to the end of the lead. Maybe chasing, right? For those of you who have dogs who like to chase. Maybe running away. And so when we like define it and identify it as that, it's something that Gorse is, it's definitely going to be a focus for her for the next week, is actually increasing that threshold. Because when we increase that threshold, we make the bucket bigger. More stuff can pay into the bucket before they become unresponsive. Now, for little Gorse, especially since she was bitten, her bucket almost shrank, yeah? I mean, it's hard to tell if it did shrink or if it was just like full. But even when emptying that bucket, the bucket was totally empty, we like simplified her life, it really felt like it didn't take much for her to go over threshold and just become unresponsive. And the way that her like over threshold behaviors would look is she would bark, her pupils would literally dilate to the point that her eyes were black. Like she, you know, she looked like something from The Exorcist. Yeah, it was just like totally black eyes. And she would bark so vigorously. I mean, she's only tiny, and it is quite funny when I say this to you, but it's not funny in the moment. She'll bark so vigorously that she would almost like shoot backwards. So she would like bark and her legs would leave the ground and she would just like shoot backwards, but keep doing it. So it's like she's like reversing, but through like propulsion from barking. And so that's what she used to do. Now, and that's what she, I imagine, would still do, you know, put in the situation. What are we going to do to boost that threshold and grow that threshold? Well, when we think about it as the threshold at which they stop thinking or the limit at which they stop listening, whether they are excited or scared, we can work with that in excitement. So a little game that you can play with your dog, and your dog just needs to know a couple of like verbal cues. So if they know a sit and a lie down, like they're the typical ones that most dogs know, but your dog might know sit, paw, left spin, right spin, beg, whatever, doesn't matter. Roll over, does not matter what it is that you're asking your dog to do. With a toy or with food or whatever gets your dog excited, it might even just be praise, you're going to get them excited, get them engaged, get them like revved up, but only to the point at which you still think they can listen, okay? And you're going to get them to that point, and then you're going to say, can you do a sit? Can you do a down, right? And if they can do it, then you're going to reward them. And you're going to, effectively, every time we bring them to that threshold, but not quite go over it, and we ask them to listen, the brain goes, oh, right, I need to consider that, reshape, oh, restretch, and I'm going to get better at that the next time. Yeah. And the thing about brains is that they change, they grow, they strengthen, they get skilled up in the stretch zones, right? So we've all had it where, we've been learning something, like we've been learning to drive, let's say. And I remember learning to drive and I was not, I'm not the most focused person, right? When, you know, I'm focused on talking about dogs, but if I'm driving along, my attention is not always there. And it didn't help that I ran over a bird in my driving test. And the issue is that if I just continued to hurtle towards the bird and run them over, I would have passed. But because I tried to dodge the bird, but still hit them, unfortunately, rest in peace. Actually, it affected my driving and therefore I failed or something along those lines. It was very upsetting because not only did the bird not make it, but also I didn't pass. So anyway, you're learning to drive and you're having to like learn about the gears and learn about this thing called a clutch. Yeah, I thought there was only like a clutch of chicks, and you know, got in a car and they're talking about a clutch, and so I'm having to like learn what to do with my left leg, learn what to do with the gears. And your brain is like, it's in the realm of, it's really having to focus and think. Yeah, it's having to consciously process this and do this. And as you learn to drive and as you get more hours in the saddle on driving or hours in the driving seat, what you find is that you no longer think about it, do you? You no longer think about changing the gears. You no longer think about, you know, getting the clutch on the biting point or whatever it is. I don't even remember the terminology, right? And yet I drive a manual car still. And so you start to just put things into like, this is, you know, unconscious. This is just automatic. And it's at that point that your brain is now no longer growing, no longer changing, no longer like developing that skill, because it's just like tick, done, and off we go. And so if we always do what is easy to our dogs, then you might find that actually they stop progressing. You might find that you reach a bit of a plateau, not because that's all they're capable of, but because we as their owners are not stepping out of our comfort zone. And, you know, in coaching thousands of reactive dog owners, I see this all the time where we've created this life that is now not painful, it's acceptable to us. And in turn, the dog's results have kind of plateaued and they're kind of staying the same. And owners will come to me and say, look, you know, I can't figure out how to improve this. I can't figure out how to get this to the next level. I can't figure out how to get back to that progress that we were seeing right at the start. And it's because we're not, you know, going beyond the comfort zone or like walking along the edge of the comfort zone. And so this game is a really great game to kind of get to grips with that and understand that we are not trying to be like, oh, I'm going to get you mildly excited. And then can you do a sit? And your dog's like, yeah, I can do that, no problem. They're not skilling up. They're not growing there. The brain's not being stretched. Instead, we're going to get them really quite excited, but to that point that we still think they can listen, and then ask them to listen. Yeah. And if we go too far, if they go, computer says no, I'm now just going to bark at you and do the, you know, barking, jumping backwards, pupils dilated. Don't worry. Okay. See that as another opportunity, an opportunity to say, okay, now we're going to work on you calming down to a level where you can listen again. And then I'm going to ask you to do that sit again. I'm going to ask you to do that down again. Yeah, everything's an opportunity when we're working in the framework of a game. It's not life or death. We're not out, you know, out in the real world. We're working on training for the situation rather than in the situation, which is so powerful when it comes to dog behavior. So that's what I want you to practice between now and the next time that that we get together. That's what I'm going to have a little play with Gorse and have a little bit of fun with and grow that threshold so that she's got a bigger bucket that when we get out into the real world, more stuff's going to be able to pay into it and it's going to be spacious and she's going to be like, throw it at me. It's no problem. There's space for more in here. I can manage my stress levels, which would be amazing, right? And that was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. If you have not left a review for the podcast yet, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever else. You listen to Google Podcasts, I assume exists, I don't know. If you've got a funny story, an embarrassing story, big or small, we don't mind, okay? We do often share the really crazy ones, but equally, we really want to hear from you. Almost treat it as like a bit of a confessions inbox, right? Where you can send it off anonymously to us and we will make sure it's all anonymized. Don't worry. That was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. The email address to send those in is cringe@helpmy.dog, cringe@helpmy.dog, and Cringe herself will have a read of them. And we will see you next time.